It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more.
Since 1999, Rose Mania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rose Mania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rose Mania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mites, while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
Well, hey, we're so glad you joined us for this very first broadcast of the Rose Chat Podcast for 2014. Now, Teresa, it's hard to believe we're about to begin our third year of Rose Chat Podcast.
I know. And, you know, we've had so much fun, and we've learned a ton, too.
Oh, I know. It's just been incredible to the amount of knowledge that I've gained myself just doing these shows just blows me away.
Oh, me too. And we want to send out a special thanks to all our guests for sharing their love of roses with us. We now have over 60 podcasts with information for you, whether you're new to growing roses or you've been growing roses for years. And there are many ways you can access the Rose Chat Podcast. You can jump in right here on Blog Talk Radio, on our website, rosechatradio.com, and through the iTunes or the Stitcher apps. And the apps are absolutely free. Okay, have you seen our coffee mugs? They're becoming prized possessions. You're seeing them all over Facebook. We are getting more and more requests for them, too. And if you want a chance to win one, just like us on Facebook and join the conversation on Twitter.
That's right. You know, Teresa, we've got such good friends in the world of radio, especially here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, two of those friends are Lisa Smith and Nancy Reed over at Big Blend Radio. And these are two dynamite women who produce awesome podcasts on every topic under the sun. You know, one of those topics that's very near and dear to their heart is our national park system. They have embarked on what they call the Spirit of America Tour. Now, these two are on a mission to visit every single national park in an effort, you know, to highlight the vast resources that we have in each one of these beautiful parks, and also, you know, to draw attention to the cities and towns that surround these our national parks. While they're on this journey, they're finding plenty of roses along the way. I think Lisa and Nancy are kind of surprised by that.
They sure have been. When we've talked to them, they said there's roses everywhere, and we're so glad to hear that.
Yeah, I mean, she said since they were on the show the first time that now they've started to look for roses everywhere they go.
Well, we're so excited for our listeners to get to hear this heartwarming chant that Nancy and Lisa had with Manuel and Olga. So let's get started.
It's time to order roses for spring delivery, and S&W Greenhouse has just what you need. From knockouts to hybrid teas, S&W has the best. From weeks, star roses and plants, and new this year, a beautiful collection of David Austin English roses that are sure to make your garden the envy of the neighborhood. Check them out online at sw-greenhouse.com. Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
All right, we are here live at the Bravo Lake Botanical Gardens. Nancy, I think you've made some friends over there.
I know, more chickens.
More chickens. We're loving this. We're in Woodlake, California, which is in Central California, right outside the Sequoia National Park and Kings Canyon National Park. And we're with Manuel and Olga Jimenez. Manuel, how long have you been working here at the Botanical Garden? You don't actually work. You volunteer, right?
Yes. Actually, Olga makes me work now because I retired about 2 months ago. So I do work here.
The last 9 years, I've been volunteering with Olga to work with kids. Of course, like I mentioned earlier, we grow kids and we plant gardens. And so we've been busy growing kids. And along the way, we've planted 14 acres of a unique facility here in Woodlake.
Because here you've got agriculture and also flowers, a lot of flowers, sunflowers, zinnias, roses. But also, I mean, we're standing here right next to roses and bananas at the same time.
Yes, we are. And the bananas are ripe. So if you get here in time, you'll be able to taste some of those bananas.
See, everybody? And I just taste. What did I taste, Olga?
A dwarf banana. And it's very... Oh, the longan.
Oh, yes. So what is that?
That's a Chinese fruit. And it looks like an eye. And you peel the skin off, and inside it has a very large seed. But the flesh is very sweet, and it's delicious. And the Chinese people love it.
So how did you get involved with the Woodlake, the garden here in Woodlake? I keep wanting to call it Woodlake Botanical Gardens, but it's Bravo Lake, and you do have a lake. But how did you get involved?
Well, a couple of years back, Manuel had been doing some work in the city of Visalia. He was teaching the Hmong people how they use drip system in the United States. And I said to Manuel, why can't you come over to Woodlake and we can start a garden over there? And he said, you know, that sounds like a good idea. So about maybe 12, 15 years ago, we started doing that. And it was on a private piece of land. And we were there for a couple of years, and the community got to know us, and the children started to get to know us, and that was the beginning.
So now, how big is this, Manuel?
We have 14 acres.
14 acres. And about how many kids come and work with you?
Throughout the year, we probably get about 100 different kids that come out and volunteer. But we have a core group of about a dozen that come regularly. And they're the guys that keep the whole project going. And over the last, you know, Olga said 12 years, but she loses track of time because it's actually been a very long time. We've been doing this over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
And so Olga has actually helped raise many young people and now adults. But the kids come out and they get involved sometimes in planning projects and then in also collecting information. For example, right now we're doing a day degree model on sunflowers. So that way we can tell people when you can plant a flower anywhere in the United States, providing they have that information on day degree information. Because, you know, calendar days are not nearly as important as heat units. And so, you know, if you plant in spring versus middle of summer, it takes different amounts of time to produce those flowers. And so we have several varieties that we're following. And pretty soon we'll be able to tell people, this is when you plant. If you have a wedding or you have a certain event that you want and you want some flowers blooming during that event, this is when you actually plant those seeds to make sure you're in full bloom at the time that you have this major event, which could be even a wedding.
Ah, so now what age are the kids that come here?
Actually, we start as young as fourth grade.
Oh.
And sometimes, like in the summer, the parents are off to work, and let's say the 12-year-old says, I've got a younger 5-year-old, can they come along? And I'll say, sure, you know, you can bring them as long as it's okay with your parents. So we actually start very young, and they continue to stay with us. And they'll bring neighbors and they'll bring friends, and that's how the group just starts to grow and grow and grow. And so that's really helpful because some of the kids, it's like Manuel and I say, some of the kids like working in the garden and some won't. And the ones that don't like working in the garden don't come back, but the ones that do will come and be here with us. They enjoy the plants. They don't mind us weeding or transplanting or planting seeds. So we actually start from the very beginning.
Now, I noticed a lot of gourds with hanging, that there are hanging baskets on, like, drip systems. You've got all kinds of funky water systems and plant systems going on here. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, we grow gourds. Well, we grow a lot of things. One of the things we do grow is gourds. Those happen to be Kenyan gourds. They're very large. And what we do is we use them as planters. And so what we do is we clean out the gourds, we make holes in the sides of them, and then we put soil planting mix in there, plant our flowers or vegetables sometimes through the gourd, and then we put them on a timer because they, you know, it's not much soil, so you have to keep it moist. And then by having that water there regularly and some fertilizer, the plants grow very nicely.
it seems like you've got a full ecosystem going here with all the, you know, the plants, the flowers, you've got the agriculture, insects. We're hanging out with an earthworm this morning. But the birds, I mean, you've got so many birds. You've got water birds, but then you've got a whole bunch of birds flying around here. Are you using a lot of pesticides or not? Because I see so much.
Which is a herbicide, Roundup. Everybody's familiar with it. Because, you know, with 14 acres, we can't possibly manage managing. And I say managing because we don't kill all the weeds. We like some of the weeds to grow. They're nice. And some of them happen to be natives. So we selectively control certain perennial weeds that give us a tough time that require lots of labor. Other than that, we do not use any insecticides or fungicides or anything like that. And so basically we let nature take its course. We actually have planted insectary gardens. And those insectary gardens are California native plants or flowering plants that bloom throughout the year and maintain a living population of beneficial insects, including predators and parasitoids.
Wow. You want to come get your predator on here.
Parasitoids.
Yeah, your parasitoids. Now, Olga, what's your favorite area in the garden here? I mean, this is huge. You've got, you know, grapes. You've got, you know, all kinds of those huge hibiscus. What are that called again?
Hibiscus, yes.
The big one?
Yes, the great big flower is hibiscus.
And you taught me that that's related to cotton.
To cotton. It's related to Athenia.
Hollyhocks?
Yes, they're all related.
Wow, I didn't know that. See, you learn stuff when you come to Botanical Garden. What's your favorite, Olga?
I haven't got one yet because every area has its own interest. And I used to think it was the banana area, but when you go out to the road, by area we have, it's kind of difficult. Or if you go out to the area, it's really the which is your favorite part has a.
I like the 200 varieties of peaches, plums, and nectarines, and so I spend all summer eating. Delicious. I come out every morning, even when I was working the last 9 years, and pick fruit that I like, and so I've been doing that for a while, and I really enjoy it. It's disappointing as we get into fall because, of course, we have less and less fruit.
Well, I think that by fall, your sunflowers are incredible. Those are magic.
They're amazing.
I love
those.
They're
huge.
And the birds love those. So I think the birds are going to be eating good this fall off of the sunflowers. Do you still have flowers for people to...
The garden is designed to look at. And if it's not flowers, sunflowers, when they're dry, all the seed heads, they're very... Foxes that come into the garden, and they feed. They're feeding right now. Earlier, but right now they're feeding. So they're night. You know. But what's nice is that we close the garden. They have access to the gardens to come. So whether they're raccoons, of course, so in some places raccoons are very common. Here they're not. But you know, people wouldn't believe this, but we have raccoons in the garden. We have foxes. We had bobcat last year that spent lots of time here because of all the cottontail rabbits that we have in the gardens. And it's amazing, you know, the animal life, they really don't bother most of our plants. Sometimes they nibble on them. Some things like rabbits only nibble and they allow the plants to grow. So for a while they feed on it and then it grows it back. So even the wildlife, you know, we really enjoy the wildlife being here. And so it's not like we allow it, you know, for example, snakes. We like snakes, too, but many people here do not like snakes, and they're afraid of them, so they tend to kill them, and that's, you know, we frown upon that because we want all wildlife to be fine. I mentioned the bobcat. You know, of course, the bobcat is something that people are afraid of, but even here in the daytime, as soon as we saw people would leave, we haven't seen them in a while, but, you know, this environment here, it's a really small island. Because it's in the middle of town, but we are connected to the farm area because on the east side of the gardens we have citrus orchards and olive orchards, and it goes on like that into the foothills. But wildlife is very welcome here.
Mm. So what are your future plans for the
through the the city of Woodlake applied for a grant that we're going to be buying an additional 15 acres. And so we have plans there to establish more demonstration gardens. We've run out of land, actually, believe it or not, with the vegetables. You know, we used to have a large area to plant large collections of vegetables. And now, of course, that's been diminished as we add more and more perennials. In the vegetable areas, we used to plant lots of different things. For example, we would plant 300 varieties of peppers or 100 varieties of tomatoes and other things. We've actually planted over 1,000 varieties of vegetables in one season. So we're looking forward to being able to expand our vegetables again because they're very, very beautiful to see vegetables growing. And the one thing we want to do is encourage people to include fruiting plants and as well as vegetables in the landscape, because a lot of plants are actually beautiful. And if they come at certain times of the year, they'd be able to see, you know, how we set up our plants so that they are very attractive in the landscape.
How do you get your...
most of these perennial plants are here in the facility have been donated by the local nurseries and also nurseries that are from other distant places because, for example, we have a collection of grape varieties, wine grapes, table grapes, raisin grapes, and so on. And that was a contribution of about 11 nurseries to be able to get all those varieties into the block. The same thing with the deciduous stone fruit orchard. We have over 200 varieties there, and that was contributions from, again, a dozen nurseries or more that provided their varieties for the gardens. Because what we've asked them to do is to give us the best varieties that they have that grow well, that taste good. And also, they've sent that historical plant material that's important to that particular industry.
Interesting. So people can come and see how they grow here and then go plant them in their own yard.
Absolutely.
Good. Well, thank you so much. Oh, yeah, and they can taste it.
And they can also taste the fruit.
Yes, I think that's a good part
that's
of it, right? And the vegetables, too, because we got to get the kids to eat the veggies. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I want to thank Lisa and Nancy over at Big Blend Radio for taking time to share this wonderful interview with our listeners. Be sure and check them out on Blog Talk Radio or at BigBlendRadio.com.
Well, friends, it's hard to believe we're at the end of another broadcast, but we'll be back next week with Baldo Vegas, the Bug Man, who grows more than 1,000 roses and many perennials in his California garden. Baldo has been going through a process of evaluating every one of his roses, so you won't want to miss what he has to tell us. And until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.